Welcome to episode 378. Do you like to give or receive a performance review? Well, it just may be one of the toughest responsibilities we have, but fear not. Aftermarket HR leader Dr. John Passante is here to ease you into this very important responsibility. Now, here's a taste.
I always ask the group, how many of you get enough compliments? Raise your hands. I've never had anybody raise their hand. And I ask the question, why don't we give compliments? And the room gets silent.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, hello, welcome. Carm Capriotto here. You know, with today's technology, we give up some control over ourselves. We are in many cases not connecting personally, but through technology. Some say it works great. However, touch, eye contact on the spoken word is missing. So in business, are we getting real honest, one-on-one, eyeball-to-eyeball feedback so you know your role and the contribution to the company is valued? Dr. John Passante wrote a great article titled, You Can't Handle the Truth. It's on performance reviews. We discussed the power of the performance review in this episode and why. Because it's year end, it's an important time to spend quality time with your team to share developmental needs, goals, and accomplishments. I want to thank Federal Mogul Motor Parts for bringing you the Remarkable Results Radio podcast. Looking for a hands-on, real-world technical training experience? Well, Garage Gurus offers on-site training in major markets across the country, providing the equipment, tools, and know-how needed to help keep your next job on track. Find out more at fmgarageGurus.com. Hey, please be sure to visit the Remarkable Results Up Biz website. So much there, including the new books page that showcases the books that we've discussed on the show. Also, the photos page may just include your picture. You know, as we come upon a new year, 2019, eliminate your fear of doing reviews and sit with your people to discuss their behavior and contributions to improve themselves and your organization. You know, it's amazing how fast-paced we are today as life happens at light speed. We must take time to provide for two-way feedback with our teams. Never be surprised when you lose a team member or if you're terminated. Ongoing feedback and development helps the entire organization grow and flourish. In this episode, Legacy Aftermarket HR professional Dr. John Passante, President and CEO of the Organizational Development Group, helps unlock the potential in every organization that is underutilized. He sheds light on performance reviews by understanding personal goals, culture, strategy, values, and leadership. Do you know your personal and organizational's potential? We'll get motivated about it in this episode. Find the show's talking points with Dr. John at remarkableresults.biz/E378. And it's time to use the things you learned in this episode. So put them to the test. Something brand new. I'm giving out swag. Yes, some swag. Really cool logoed stuff for the show. Listen during this episode for exactly how to enter and win. Hey, a warm welcome to Dr. John Passante. Hey, welcome, John.
My honor to be there and share some thoughts with you this afternoon.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, John's been on the show before. Please go to the website, type in John Passante, and check out the three previous episodes John was with us for. Here's why John is here. He's a prolific writer, writes for a lot of the industry magazines, and every once in a while he drops these bombs on the industry. And this article, John, was fabulous. I have to tell the audience, I'm going to tell them the title of it because I love your title. It says, You Can't Handle the Truth. Indeed, they can. Well, that grabbed me and it pulled me in, and I had to find out what you were talking about. And boy, was this article timely. How a guy like you could link performance appraisals and You Can't Handle the Truth, the great line from the movie A Few Good Men. Tell us how this all came about in your mind.
Well, it's my experience. You know, as you know, I was with major aftermarket companies, and I was blessed to work for those organizations. And it's interesting to me because if you think about management leadership, it's accountability is in the drinking water. I mean, you know, every company has a strategic plan. They have tactical plans. They have marketing plans. And they're documented and people are accountable. But for some reason, I don't know why, but it seems to be leaders get uncomfortable when it's year end to sit down with their associates, their employees, and have what I call, you know, some quality time to kind of recap the year and share, you know, and share developmental needs as well as accomplishments. And I think that's a magic time. But there's a fear there. I mean, that's why I said people, you know, they can handle the truth, because in my career and your career, I know you worked in an industry. I respected when I got input in a supportive, objective way to improve myself.
Boy, bingo. It's so true. And I guess the premise of the article and the title is the truth. And I guess if we want a performance review, number one, we need performance reviews, but we want it served truthfully. It hurts if you don't tell the truth both ways.
Well, that's exactly right. And one of my favorite sayings is the basis of all relationships in life is trust. That's your wife, that's your children, that's your grandchildren, that's your really, really true friends, which most of us have a limited number of those type of, they're blessings. And you build trust by professional candor in the work environment. Because if someone has a deficiency, and we all have areas to improve upon, and you don't share that information, I think that's a cardinal sin. Because how can I improve? You know, if I'm a sales executive and I don't know how to close professionally, give me some training, give me some guidance. You know, if I need presentation skills training, we all need some areas of development. And rather than rush through that, and so everybody, you know, I was going to say the word whitewash the system and avoid, maybe people see that as conflict, but I think it's the message is how, if I trust you and you and I have a trust relationship, I'm going to be all ears when you tell me how I can improve.
I'm going to go way out on the limb.
Go ahead.
Way out and say that the majority of the people who are listening right now, my audience, the service professional and the aftermarket professionals, fear, John, they fear performance reviews, doing them, receiving them. And it's almost like, it's like I didn't sleep the night before.
Yeah, but you know, it's like this. I mean, if it's akin, you think about life. When you go to school, you get measured, right? It's called the report card. Not that the performance appraisal is, but there's a relation. You get feedback. You bring that report card home, guess what? You get feedback from your mother and your father.
Wait a minute, John. You're old enough. I know. I'm old enough to remember when the report card changed from a grade to a grade and then an attitude score.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know that. And a behavior score.
Right, yeah, yeah.
My dad reminded me of that many times.
I bet you he did.
But so what I'm saying to you is that in the article, what I talk about, it has to be an ongoing process. It's not where you wait 12 months. If I'm a service provider and I need to improve my productivity, I'll just, you know, that, because that's service providers, that, or I need to improve how I relate to the clients, to the customers. You want to talk to that service provider right away and say, I'd like to share an observation with you. And I want you to, what I always do is I talk about the things that I used to do wrong in my career. That's trust, right? Because how did you get where you are in business? People helped me. People, you know, mentored me. So a service provider, their job is complex, as you know and I know. They have to be technically astute. They have to have great people skills. They have to be productive. They wear many, many hats. And part of, if you're an ownership of an organization, I think if you have that, it could be a 10-minute conversation over coffee during the year. When you get to the December annual performance review, in my article I talk about, it's not a get you. I waited 12 months to tell you this. It's a continuation of the dialogue. Make sense?
Yeah, it does, John. And a couple of things are rolling through my mind. It shouldn't be yearly. It should be quarterly. Do you agree with
quarterly,
that?
Quarterly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. You've written about that. And then you have this great line in there. It says, indeed, the truth will set you free.
Yes. Because silence is not feedback. If I work for you in your role, if you don't tell me that I'm what I'm doing correctly and give me, by the way, when I do seminars and I ask like at Northwood University of Leadership, and I asked, and I've been doing this for 17, 18 years, I always ask the group, how many of you get enough compliments? Raise your hands. I've never had anybody raise their hand. And I ask the question, why don't we give compliments? And the room gets silent. Compliments are free. They have to be sincere. They have to be genuine. Recognition. But there's a hunger in not only in the aftermarket, but every industry, people want feedback. Silence is not feedback. So give me feedback on a weekly basis. Quarterly, if you should have measurable, I talk about accountability in the article, measurable goals that you can touch and feel. And you review those quarterly.
Individually.
Individually, one-on-one with quality time with your leader.
I'm talking with Mike Zralik, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. So you have this van, and it's the Guru on the Go van, and it's all nicely decked out, and you drop by for lunches and learns. How do shops get a chance to get that van to come to their place?
Well, they can, of course, call into our Guru hotline and request it. They can talk to their parts distributor, you know, and through that channel, we can go out and do some training, or even with us out in the field. You know, if they see us, we do various warehouse distributor type shows, many different events. We're out there everywhere. Just come by and ask, and we'll be more than happy to come by.
Hey, Mike, if I said you were a champion for Federal Mogul Motor Parts, would I be right?
You betcha.
So give me an example.
I live, eat, breathe Federal Mogul on a daily basis. You know, growing up, being in the racing industry, I knew a lot about Moog. I loved Moog. Felpro, same thing. To go out and be able to talk about a company this big, this strong, it makes me happy every single day. I'm so excited to do it on a day in and day out basis.
What are technicians saying after you're done with your presentation?
When can you come back? They want more day in and day out.
They want more, and you have more to give. You've got so many key product lines in the industry.
Oh, we have a ton of product lines and a ton of training that's available, you know, with those product lines and on a technical side too.
How dazzled are the techs to see that compression-loaded ball joint with the pre-installed integral dust boot?
They come unglued. They are so excited about that because less frustrations. You know, they've been dealing with issues in the field of damaging that boot during installation, and it makes it so much easier to put in. And it's a beautiful piece.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the Gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit FMGarageGuru.com. John, what's your take on if I'm the supervisor and I'm sitting down with one of my people and we're doing our quarterly thing, and I say, hey, now it's your time now. Give me feedback. Do you agree with the two-way?
It has to be a two-way street. I managed and led organizations, I would say, now give me feedback on how I can improve. And people would tell me. They'd say, you know, John, you expect too much too soon. And I know I did. And I try to modify that, right? Or, you know, and they said you set the goals too high. And I said, I do with people that have.
Let me just comment on both of those. Those aren't bad. Those aren't bad traits, of course.
I know. But you know what's interesting? It's like, and again, I try to build relationships, but it's you have to treat everybody as an individual. So it's not one size fit all in performance. You really have to get to know your people. And I call that the hot button. The hot button is what motivates people. If your service provider that likes the most difficult assignment, he or she loves that challenge. And you go out in that shop and you say, okay, Joe, good morning. I got something I bet you can't tackle. You better get out of Joe's way. He's going to get it done, right? That's the hot button. Part of the performance appraisal should be a motivator. It should not be a negative.
let's move into a little how-to, and here's how I want to link it together. I learned a while back, once you had a tremendous vision, mission, and values set that was building the culture in your company, you could always manage behavior against those values.
That's correct.
And I guess what I'm here to say is we need to encourage the listenership, this wonderful aftermarket of ours, and all these small entrepreneurs to find their mission, vision, values, and then use those to coach to moment by moment, quarter by quarter, appraisal by appraisal.
You're so right. Again, I ask when I do seminars, I'll ask the people to seminar, do your employees know what you expect of them? And all the heads go up and down, like the dog at the back of the car, right? Go up and down. I say, okay, I'm going to come to your location. And I put a $50 bill on the table. And I say, I'm going to ask you to write down what you expect of 3 or 4 of your employees. And then I'm going to meet with them one-on-one. And if what they tell me you expect of them match what you say you expect of them, I'll give you $50. Who's taking the bet? Zero. Zero. So I'm saying, how the heck could I?
It's zero, John, because they don't know.
They don't know. So how can you have a base of trust? It's like your family or your children. You set clear expectations when you're raising children, right? You do your homework. You talk politely. You make your bed. I mean, the basic stuff. And I'm not saying that you treat employees like children. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you have to emphasize clear, concise expectation. You know, I do some recruiting in the industry. Companies spend money to find good people. They advertise on the web. They interview. They fly people in. They hire them. Sometimes they move them cross country. Then they stop. That's only the beginning of the relationship. At clear expectations, clear measurement, clear feedback.
I guess if you don't have direction, John, from the right. leadership of the company, you're like a plane without a rudder.
That's a great point. It is. And look, we're all time poor. That's what I worry about. You and I both love this industry. It's been good to both of us. But I talk to a lot of people, as you do, and they're time poor. They've things to do. And sometimes, many, many times, if I can say that, the people side of the business gets pushed down. And we've got to take care of the clients. There's no question about that. But your best customer and your brand is your employees.
Let's talk about a firing here. Good leaders, when they get ready to fire somebody, that individual who's receiving the bad news should not be surprised by it, right?
That's correct.
And the same with a review. I guess let's just talk about the fact that, okay, I'm doing reviews. I'm only doing one a year. I should be doing quarterlies. Let's set that on the table. But your point in the article was, please, no surprises. Along the way, someone should know where they're headed, what direction, if they've got true north. And you've got to, as the leader of the company, don't drop bombs.
Well, it's not only unfair, it's illegal. So you have the legal aspects.
Yeah.
It's analogous to the electric chair. Before they pull the switch to the electric chair, it's due process. And unfortunately, companies hire me to terminate employees because they say I do it in kindness, and I work hard to do that. But the only time that the due process doesn't have to be followed, somebody steals from you. Somebody has sexual harassment. You understand. Two employees get in a fight in the conference room. Then that's a whole different animal. But the due process is, John, you have an attendance problem. And what are you going to do to improve it? We're going to meet in 2 weeks to improve that. And so you go through the process. And then a couple of weeks go by again, I'm still not improving. And then you have to raise the question. John, you realize you're on a track to lose your job. And I've been in situations where, and I hope you don't mind me giving this example, but we had to consolidate sales forces because of acquisitions. And I've got the job to in effect, you're take some salespeople out. Not a fun assignment to do. And so I asked the regional managers to send in all their recommendations on who we're going to have to replace or let go. And I flew around the whole country doing that, by the way, which gives me probably gave me heart disease because it's tough. What happened, Carb, is the people they want to get rid of, over 50, but the performance appraisals were perfect. Not perfect, but not warrant termination. We ended up keeping people that we shouldn't have kept because the manager didn't face the problem that they weren't performing.
Bingo. Yeah. And that's a great point to bring up. And that's why reviews need to be done. They need to be done often. And they need to be steeped in values of the company and performance. I mean, it's the behavior. It's not never the person. It's always their behavior. Right, John?
It is the behavior. It's the behavior. And it's a behavior of the leader. Because we all get the tone of the organization from the leadership. And people want to know what's going on in the organization. Then they want to know. We could spend a lot of time talking about millennials. They want to know. They want feedback daily. And I like that. I've worked with millennials. Millennials report to me. They're smart. They're hungry. You don't give them feedback, you're not going to retain them.
Yeah. We've done a lot of shows on millennials, so anyone who's listening now, just go to the website, type in millennials, and there's a lot of great stuff out there. John, in the article, you also go on to talk about wages, and you know, a lot of people say, well, okay, it's time to do a performance review because I need to talk about raises or pay or something like that. It's really not the smartest time to do it, is it?
Two separate conversations.
Okay.
Because otherwise, if I know you're going to talk to me about my performance and money, guess what? When you're talking about I'm not really actively listening. Show me the money, baby, right? So I'm already going
all I came in here to hear about is what's the number.
That's right.
I don't care about anything else you're ready to say.
Right.
Because I want to go home and tell mama, honey, I got a raise.
Yeah, and look, there's no secrets in the organizations. If you go in before me on Thursday and I'm due on Friday, you and I go to lunch or we go have a drink after work, I say, what'd you get? He said, John, I got 5%. So I said, okay, I sure the heck better get 5% or better. So there's no secrets. So,
facial expressions will give it away.
Yeah, exactly. But two separate conversations.
I love where this is going because there's an awful lot of how-to coming out of this. And man, thank you so much for being here. Let's talk about the framework of a beneficial performance review. You cover this in your article. And oh, by the way, at the end, I want to let's tell everybody where they could actually get this article and look at it. Give us some pointers on the framework.
First of all, because I said earlier that there's a lot of stress in organizations to do more with less. You hear that.
Oh, sure.
Probably every day. Foreign competition, competition within the industry, consolidations. And people are working more than 40 hours a week, and that will probably continue. Technology is a beautiful thing, but I think it adds additional stress. And I'm a fan of technology. I'm not very competent at it, but I use it. The point is you have to have the mindset and be at peace that you're going to take time to spend quality time with an individual that reports to you in a quiet, neutral setting, not behind a big desk where it's obvious that you are the person, you are the man, the woman, maybe a neutral spot. Time of day when some people are morning people, some people are, you know, afternoon people, a time where your chemistry is right. You come prepared. You don't tell the person 2 hours before the review, 11 o'clock in my office, I'm reviewing you. Give them a week in advance. Next Thursday, 9:30, I'd like you to come in. We're going to spend an hour or so together. Bring some notes. Bring the things we talked about every quarter during 2018. And we're going to have some give and take dialogue. We're going to share some feedback on how we both did in our relationship and how we can improve. And we're going to talk about the new year. So you have an outline rather than come in and it's not laissez-faire. What are we going to talk about? That's what you do. And then I also say, if you have anything you want me to prepare before that meeting, please send me an email because I want to make sure that I'm responsible for what's on your mind.
That's a great outline. John, are you a fan of the electronic reviews where I actually go on and 1 to 5 and I rate these categories and then the supervisor rates them and then there's this gap analysis?
Absolutely not. I'm not. I mean, as you know, I'm a human touch person.
No, no, you're an old school person, John, and I don't mean that
How
with any disrespect.
None at all. Hair? No, but you're right. I mean, that's a good. I'll accept that as a compliment.
Yes, it is.
Real quick story. My oldest daughter worked for a high tech company in Boston at Harvard Square. They did software for all the major buildings in New York City to control temperature, heat, air, et cetera, et cetera. I'm moving on a boat one Friday afternoon. She calls me, and she's a tiger. I mean, oh my God, I'm fearful of my daughter. She's so doggone smart. Focus. She calls me, says, "Dad, silence is not feedback." I said, "Julie, you're upset." "Yes, I am. I got promoted, but I got it promoted through an email."
Huh.
Her boss was two doors down in his office.
Oh.
She's 20, 25, 26 years old. She had more chutzpah than I did at that age. She marched down his office and said, "We have to talk. Why did I get promoted?" He said, "Are you happy?" "Yes, I'm happy." "You happy with the raise?" "Yes." "Tell me the criteria why I got promoted." So I'm just trying to make a point there. Quality time, one-on-one with a boss is not, I don't think you rate yourself, I rate you, and then we compare notes. That takes out the dialogue. If we go through it together, then it truly is an equality of, because if I get yours first, regardless of how objective I try to be, it's going to taint me. Mm-hmm. Making sense?
Oh, yeah.
And when we have dialogue, I say to you, I gave you a 7 on customer relationship, and you say, "John, I think I deserve an 8. Let's talk about that." And many times, I'll change the number. It's not a punitive process. You want to inspire people.
So she's working for a big company, and they didn't teach her supervisor these human skills.
He was a vice president, and yeah. So, but after that, he in a staff meeting, he asked Julie to repeat what happened, and everybody, and he, to his credit, he said, "I'm going to modify my behavior."
Well, that's great. I mean, he's good for her and good for him. Okay, there are two win-wins right there.
Exactly.
Carm here, and I'm stopping just for a moment to tell you that I'm offering up during the month of November 2018 some really neat and cool podcast swag. Just go to remarkableresults.biz/swag, that's SWAG, and enter the password LEARNING to enter. There will be a random drawing in the first week of December. Good luck. So how can we get employee engagement in a review process?
I think it starts with, and you talked about it, I believe and every company should have their values on every conference room posted, on the website posted. Clarity, right? And you know, I talk about Moog all the time, but we had Drive at Moog, DRIVE. Be dedicated, be responsible, have integrity, have vision, have enthusiasm. We call it having a drive attitude.
Well, that's great. I believe you talked about that in.
I did.
In one of your shows with us, I think it was on the human side. Years high touch leadership in a high tech world. The book you wrote.
I did. But so the thing is that if I don't know where you're going as an organization, how can I feel part of it? And as you said it earlier in the conversation, values. What are your values? What's your culture? Culture drives strategy. The culture. When people say we're really customer focused, you better live that. You better walk it. You better talk it. And so you start there. Then you have corporate objectives. When I was at Moog, McCurdy and I would go around every. We had like 14, 15 locations. We'd go around every location, and we used to use overheads in the plants. 3 o'clock in the morning with a 3-shift operation, we'd be out there. We'd put all the goals for the year, hourly employees, non-union, union employees, and we promised them twice or three times a year we'd be back and give an update. I'm on a machine working in Maryville, Missouri. I want to know what Moog Automotive's up to. We're going to try to get the NAPA account. That's a big deal. That's job security, right? And so you start there. Then from there, it goes to the departmental objectives. If I'm in human resource, our objectives are to reduce turnover, to implement a wellness program, which I did, support the sales force, et cetera, et cetera. And benefits, how do we improve our benefits at lower cost? everybody in the function had those goals.
And so much of that can come from the dialogue that you have with your people.
That's what I always said. What do you want to achieve this year? It's not top down.
Yeah.
It's parallel.
Yeah. And when you're talking to your people and in this non-confrontational environment, I love that from you, John, you know, get on the other side of the desk, you know, sit across from each other, little round table, cups of coffee there, flour, you know, okay, I'm back for a moment in that non-confrontational way, John. And there's an openness that happens because you have to care about not only the goals that they have inside the company, that you and that the employee need to have, but you need to care about their personal goals.
Absolutely. I had a young man working for me at Moog that would come in at 8:01 and 5:01, he'd have his track shoes on. And if you were in the hallway, he'd knock you down and get to his car. He did great work. Great work. So I'm in my office one day and I called him and I said, Michael, sit down, close the door. I said, who works the hardest in our department? He said, well, John, you do. I said, who works most weekends? He said, you do. I said, you think I hate my family? Well, no, I met your family. You have a great family. I said, Michael, why do you think I work so much? Well, there's an awful lot to be done. I said, you ever think about coming in and say, John, can I help you on a project? I said, I'm not being critical of you. You're doing a great job. He did. He did everything I asked him to do and more. He was a contributor. So he said, I don't want an answer now. When you think about it, sleep on it. So about 4 days later, he comes in. He says, can we talk? I said, sure. He said, sit down. I said, I talked to my father. I said, okay. My father said, listen to Mr. Passanti. So he came in, and I wasn't trying to work him to death. You understand. I want to develop the young man. We sent him to University of St. Louis. He got an MBA, and I started giving him projects. And I did it in a supportive, not in a negative way, not you're an 8-to-5 kind of guy. I can't, you know what I'm saying? I did it sort of like an uncle, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you just described that personal interaction and creating positive energy by having a good discussion. You weren't ready to say to this guy, listen, you can't work here anymore. But I think what you did is you put a nice Dutch uncle boot up his butt.
Again, I didn't do it any kind of threatening way or anything.
Right.
It was, you know, you read the stuff I write. I always want, if I can make someone think, then I figure I'm successful. You know, that's what I try to do. Say, okay, put an idea in something and say, okay, let them probe a little bit. That's what I did with him. And I get a Christmas card every year from him. He's got 5 sons. And so, you know, yeah.
A Few Good Men. What a great movie, huh?
Yeah, and maybe it should have been called A Few Good Men, A Few Good Women, right? I mean, but you're right. It was a great movie. It showed tenacity because he broke him down on the stand, right? I mean, he got in his face. I think it was Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise got in his face and said, and then he finally broke down. And you can't handle the truth. But it's the tragedy, I think, is if people work for organizations for a long time and there's a, I'll use the word liability, prevent them from getting promoted or being successful. And it goes on year after year.
What do you mean by that? A liability to make them successful?
A salesperson, God bless them. I'm a salesperson. You are too. That doesn't turn their expense reports in on time. The finance department has to hound them to get it, right?
Okay.
And so then there's a meeting to say, we go through who's promotable.
Got it.
And that's a liability,
okay.
Right?
The liability on you as an individual in the company who is not moving, who is not performing. I mean, basically,
right.
I mean, you're... Whatever you're charged with, if it's as simple as turning a report in on time, it's a responsibility. And if you're not doing it, I see it's a liability on your future in the company, on your ability to be promoted, on the new wages that you may want to earn, on the value that you're adding to the company, in the culture that you're working inside of. And shall I go on?
No,
I'm getting it now. I got it.
I mean, it's like, you know, the Moog Auto, I mean, Monroe Auto was wonderful for me. I started working there in the early 70s, and I could spell aftermarket and the back of tires. We had Warren Ellis, who was probably one of the most finest salesperson and finest human beings, Winston Churchill kind of guy. He's a Renaissance guy. So Charlie McIntyre, and I'm 27, 28 years old, VP HR called me up and says, I think we have to let Warren go. I said, what? I said, so I got all his sales numbers. And I said, Charlie, in every category, he's going through the roof. He says, John, he has to turn expenses in 6 months.
I have a problem with that. That would be the worst reason to let someone go, right?
I agree. But so I flew out to New Jersey, and Warren and I had a couple great dinners, and I hired a Northwood grad, and he was a salesman, but he filed Warren's expense reports every month, and everything was cool.
Oh, geez, how smart!
So right, I mean, you understand? I mean, that's real life stuff. Where it came to the point where finance was saying we can't. You know, we need those expenses to get the budget to see how we're doing.
I know. Filing those reports would be like figures on a chalkboard, nails on a chalkboard, right, for him.
Yeah. So I hope
smart.
That makes sense.
It does. It's that time of the year, which is why it's perfect to have you on to discuss performance reviews. And our industry just isn't doing enough of them. And maybe a final elixir for the audience, John. How you wrote in your last paragraph, give your employees the room to fly, and to me, leave us with a piece of inspiration here as to the value that performance reviews can be to a company.
And you know me well enough that I'm a humanist. Okay, I'm a humanist, and I probably credit that to my Italian heritage or my upbringing. And I am convinced that as human beings, we could do anything we set our mind to. I mean, I know I have a son-in-law who's president of a company that they're involved in artificial intelligence, and I don't know where that's going, but if God forbid it ever replaces what you and I do or what aftermarket people do. My point being is that there's potential in every organization that's not being utilized. It can be an admin. It could be somebody in accounts payable. It could be a man or woman pulling orders. It can be a service provider that has fuel in their tank, that have fire in their belly, that have intellect, that have drive. They have the work ethic. What I'm saying is find out where that person is and give them room. Part of the performance review is how do we make the company better? Real quick story. I'm at Monroe Auto Equipment. And all of a sudden, we have a young man in New Jersey. Warren hired him. Sales are like, they're up like 35%. So I called to find out. He said he made a call on a service provider in the 70s. And you remember the B1 barrel when they had the shocks in a barrel with
Oh, boy, yeah.
Now remember those? They could wheel them out. Because most service providers, space is a challenge. And so Monroe came up with a very creative idea. You put the shocks in a B1 barrel, yellow, obviously, and they had a good shock and a bad shock on top because you test them.
Sure.
Right? Your client, your customers could test them.
Oh, yeah.
So he goes in, and this young man, he's probably right out of Northwood University, 24, 25 years old, and the service provider's underneath the car on a creeper. And he bends down to talk to him, and he's giving him the sales presentation. And the guy rolls out, and he says, and he's got grease on his face, and he says to the young man, you're a typical Monroe guy. You come in here with $800 or $900 deal. Get the heck out of here. A month later, the young man comes back. He says, I came back. And he said, I got a Mickey Mouse deal for you. And the guy goes, excuse me? You buy $200 worth of Monroe shocks, you get a Mickey Mouse watch. That program went nationwide. We had Mickey Mouse. I still have it. Mickey Mouse watch for men, for women, and for children. Right? The marketing department didn't. Nothing against Monroe Mark. They didn't think of that. Here's a young man went back to his apartment and thought, okay, the service provider can't afford $800. This is the 70s. A lot of money even today,
oh,
right?
A lot of money, yeah.
A lot of money, McCarr. And he came up. That's what I'm saying. That's just one example. Smithville, Tennessee, I put an idea committee in, distribution center. The manager down there said, he said, John, this is Tennessee. I said, Dennis, I know it's Tennessee. He said, he went along with it. I said, anybody who wants to be on the idea committee, put their name in a hat. The whole 130 people volunteered to be on the idea committee. We picked 10. Once a month, they met with a manager about ideas, not raises, not new benefits, not firing people. How to make the company better.
Mm-hmm.
First year, $740,000 in savings from hourly people pulling orders, providing product to the aftermarket. It's not just monetary. We've got to listen to people's ideas. Ideas are precious. Can you imagine having ideas and having potential and no one takes the time to recognize it?
Great, great story on how to get people engaged and get them to fly. You know, thanks for being my friend, John. It's really
my pleasure. I have a lot of respect for you.
Love what you're doing. I love the articles. Where can someone pick this article up pretty quick? You can't handle the truth.
If they go to the Automotive Aftermarket News website.
Automotive Aftermarket News. Yeah, just type in John Pisani's name. That's, well, great stuff. Well, you're always welcome to come back. In fact, I think we're going to do something at Apex.
Good. I love that.
Yeah, I think we're going to do something at Apex. So thank you so much, John, for this. Dr. John Pisani, President and CEO of the Organizational Development Group. And a great discussion on your article, You Can't Handle the Truth, But Indeed, You Can.
I love Set it. You free.
Set you free.
God bless you.
Yeah,
God bless you, man.
Hey, thank you, Dr. John Pisani, for sharing your ideas and tips on performance reviews to our aftermarket professionals. You always bring the power of the human touch to leading people, and thanks. This episode's key talking points and a download for the article John wrote can be found at remarkableresults.biz/E378. Hey, keep an ear out for the great interviews done at Apex 2018, and also watch for my weekly 10-minute Facebook Live update called Carmcasts. You can see the repeats on my website on the Carmcast page. Hey, we'll talk soon.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.